Christian Work Ethics. Part 2. The following message was preached by Brother Amos on Tuesday, the 16th of April 2013, at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. The second of a two-part message. It is a most timely message for those who are truly called into God's human family. As bright saints, we should absorb the instructions within this message, as it will pay divine dividends. May the Lord give us understanding. Good evening, church, and may the Lord bless you all. Please turn with me to the Word of God as we continue our message, titled Christian Work Ethics. Brothers and sisters, we will take 1 Peter chapter 2 again, starting from verse 18, which reads, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward, for this is thankworthy. Commendable, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Absolutely. Now listen to this, for it speaks of the very opposite. For what glory is it, if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? Exactly. Because you know you deserve a punishment, and hence, it is not that you are being persecuted for your faith. It is because you did what was wrong at work, and as such, it is well deserved. But if, when ye do well, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, and it yields divine rewards. For even hereby unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Please do not forget that this was written, all still in relation to our place of work. Oh my! Wake up, church! We must take whatever is thrown at us, and still be the Christian God has made us, the Christian God wants us to be, all because of God. Because it is unto God, for Jesus Christ went down the same road, suffering unjust persecution. Apostle Peter laid out the very truth that Apostle Paul also stood for the revelation of God is one. Brethren, if you do good, men may not recognize it, and men may not reward or repay you for it, but God will certainly repay you, because he sees everything, and we are coming before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a particular vocation, a career, an occupation, that God has given every man, every mortal, in every human society, supplying something to the society, because God hates idleness and laziness, and he expects us to function properly in that vocation, working faithfully, with total dedication and honesty, as anything else is not Christian. Brothers and sisters, we now live in a world where trust has ceased to exist, honesty has become a stranger in our world, integrity has no bearing in the present world, but instead, every man has become a lying scoundrel, doing wickedly to his fellow man, all for monetary or material gain. Therefore, God expects us as Christians, true believers, to make a difference. The Lord expects us to be the person in that place of work that will stand for integrity and for dedication to work, even though it will certainly not be appreciated, because we know God appreciates it and is keeping the books. So, you keep doing what is right, not because your workplace is rewarding you, but because you know that that is the right thing to do, and because there is a reward that is waiting for you up there, when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, because God is going to reward us in a way that man cannot reward. That is why Apostle Paul wrote that our earthly service is as unto Christ, for indeed, everything is as unto Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 5 to 8. Therefore, we must do your earthly duties as unto Christ. St. Peter also enjoins us that we should perform our daily duties well, for conscience toward God, even if we are ill-treated and not appreciated, following the example of Christ, who is the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Just do what you know is right to do, what is expected of you to do, at your place of work, as true Christians, making the difference and leaving a testimony, because God is keeping the accounts, marking the records, and there is a payday for it. So, In reality, we must realize that a Christian never loses. A true Christian cannot lose. So, let your boss in the office mistreat you and put you down and keep you back from promotion. That is how God has allowed it. Yes, he may be treating you wrongfully, but do not worry. Just encourage yourself in the unfailing promise of God, because there will be a righting of this wrong, for the Lord will right it one day for certain. Hence, when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, it is not just about what we have done in the church in this way of faith, but it is also about how we have performed at our places of work, which is our earthly post of duty, because the revealed faith we have permeates our entire lives, including our work, because it serves God's will for the human society. Consequently, if you know how to dodge work and to just do the barest minimal work, when you can do much better, just carry on. Your record of reward will also diminish up there as well, for you are only deceiving and cheating yourselves. So, it really pays to be faithful at our posts of earthly duties, knowing that this is the will of God for man. I sound this warning, because some people dodge work, and some are also menplice, pretenders, fooling themselves, forgetting about the unseen eye. They run up and down when they see that the boss is around, but when the boss is not around, they laze around and just do not care. You are only fooling yourselves, because God is looking at you and saying, "Look at this one." He does not even realize I am recording the worth of his duty against him. And that is the truth. It is based on the premise that God has placed man here with an earthly vocation for the smooth walking of the human society that God has made, and for which man will also be judged. And this is a truth that Christians do not see, but one that we need to see. And because you do not see it, is precisely why you can be so heavenly minded until you know earthly good. However, the truth remains, brothers and sisters, that God has placed everyone here with a human vocation, which is why he invested in men different abilities and talents, and in various measures, for the general edification of the society of man, each man contributing his own little quota to the general society, and by each man's contribution, the society is made whole, complete. Can I hear amen? Saints, God has placed every human being here with a human vocation, and that is precisely why St. Paul admonishes, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." 1 Corinthians 7 verse 20. There is a calling God has given every man, an earthly calling, an earthly vocation or career. That is why you see a boy, a little boy, already breaking up radios, called transistors, trying to put them back together again. You know that that boy is going to be an engineer, maybe an electronic engineer, or a mechanical engineer, or other. Are you with me? I have a friend, always kid, whose his name is Niyi Afolayan, and he fixes only exotic cars in his mechanic garage. We went to primary school, elementary school together, University of Ife Staff School, and we also went to the same university, University of Ife, now called Obafemi Olowo University. From the time we were small, Niyi would break down transistors and repair them. Later, he would break down bicycles and repair them. And now he deals only in exotic cars, and he has cornered the market of exotic car repairs in Lagos, and he is making a kill, because he is very pricey. He will, however, take good care of your car. When it comes to car technology, he is Mr. Technology. He frequently travels to Germany and to the United States of America just to keep abreast of car technology, and that is the truth. So, you can see that that is his calling, the earthly calling for which God has invested that ability in him. How many see the point? That is his calling, and we all have different callings, although man is now using technology to take away the different abilities that God has invested in man, where machines are now taking over human jobs, even playing drums on all types of musical instruments, nullifying the natural abilities that God has given to man, rendering man useless. Satan has turned the whole society of man on its head, creating a scarcity of jobs. Further rendering the abilities that God has invested in man utterly useless. Nonetheless, The fact remains that there is an investment of grace that God gives each man to positively impact the society, to impact the world that God has made, by contributing or supplying something that the society needs in general, in the measure to which God has given it to each man, for every joint supplies. And as long as you think that it is just a mere job, you are cheating yourself, because everything is as unto Christ. The truth is, if there was no reward in heaven for the earthly jobs we undertake, outside of our salaries and work benefits, then our earthly vocation would not possibly have been unto Christ. How many see the point? That is why I said, God has given a natural calling, a natural vocation, by natural talent, to everyone that He has created on this planet. He has invested something in each and every one. And it does not matter how much you look down on what you do, brothers and sisters. What you must realize is that everything is out of 100% and you can get 99% or even that 100%. I do not care whether it is sweeping the floor or cleaning the toilet or serving a Kentucky Fried Chicken, jobs which people look down on. Now, that does not necessarily mean that that is the ability you have, but in a society of dog-eat-dog, which is the survival of the fittest, a society that Satan has turned completely upside down, where the poor are trampled upon and kept perpetually down, and where human talents and abilities are rendered useless, in a society where your money is what gets you the best opportunities, the best advantages, and the best jobs. But if that is the job you get, God understands, and He will reward you accordingly. Yes, He will, for He is not only just, but He is also a God of balance. The fact is, you can get a 100% on that little job, for it is all based on faithfulness, whilst on the other hand, a lying, cheating, horrible, and crooked manager gets nothing but 0%. In God's estimation, that is why we are told to do our jobs with a good conscience unto God, because He is the one that is going to repay us. So, do not wonder why you are the one that gets all the menial jobs, for as I must see for the umpteenth time, there is nothing you go through, and nothing you suffer, that God does not see, and there is nothing that comes your way, that God has not allowed. You are walking on the road that the Lord has channeled for you, for as it is written in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It is also written in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Exactly. So, you may not understand it, but that is precisely the pathway that God has channeled for you. And there is a reason God has mapped out this very road for you, if you will only let God have His way. Consequently, there is nothing to be terrorized or amazed about. And there is nothing strange in your experiences, for as I must remind you, that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ also worked for some time in a carpenter's workshop, till He was of age to start His ministry, just as Apostle Paul was also a tent maker. But if you can bear patiently and faithfully, you will see the finger of God, for He has a way of turning things around. But you may have to bear for a while, for He tries us all. And that is the problem. People do not want to bear with any pain or discomfort. If there is any little problem, they want to go. If there is any little hardship or suffering, they cannot bear it, and they just throw in the towel. But our Christian walk is not our bread and butter. It is not meant to be a bed of roses, for this is not an easy believe easy way. Therefore, if you cannot endure with it, then you just cannot endure with God. Simple. The way of revealed faith is a straight and narrow way. It is a rugged pathway by divine revelation. And with the love of God in our hearts, we tread it with joy, although it may sometimes bring tears to our eyes. But there is joy in our souls, because we know there is a paid a coming of the ruined glory, and so we plot on, holding to God's unfailing word of promise. Amen. Church, the fundamental truth remains that our jobs are not just jobs, and I say that because even our earthly jobs have a divine objective attached to them. How many see the point? And it is simply because we cannot have a society that is running very well, stable and ordered, peaceful, prosperous, and equitable, with other people also having a good attitude towards work and towards one another, knowing that we are our brother's keeper. I want to personally believe that this is something that God used to open the eyes of John Calvin so he could see the very reason he was able to change the course of things in Europe, positively affecting the society, and thus becoming the father of modern Europe. And that is why today, the European society is not like the African society, or like the other so-called developing societies, and you all know that that is the truth, for it is a notorious fact. Over in the Western world, in Europe, for example, there is order, and hence, there is sanity in the societies, very different from the lawless and disorderly societies that abound in Africa, especially where the governments do nothing for the people, no good roads, no constant running pipe bomb water, no constant electricity, no housing for the people, no good transportation, no jobs, no food, and no social security or welfare system, that is, no government benefits, none of anything. Nevertheless, corruption and greed, and the total lack of care or consideration for fellow human beings, evil traits of the end time, has eaten deep into the fabric of all human societies and changed the state of things, even in the West. Years ago, in the Western world, unlike today, if you gave a job to a white person, you know he would do an excellent job, and you would not have to seek on his head for him to do it well. Today, however, things have changed, for we have a lot of cowboys, cheats, fraudsters, all over the world, including the West, for everyone is looking for fast and easy gain. The big corporations are also only looking for big annual returns at the expense of the workers and at the expense of good service, for they cut all corners. Hence, the bigger the corporation, the bigger and the more sophisticated the corruption. Because it is a world of money mongers, for money is their god. They worship the almighty dollar. I called a bricklayer to do some work for me, and this was a guy I liked, because I saw him work in the church premises one day, and I just liked the guy. So, I told him, please come and work for me in the house. I wanted to close up the door to my storeroom, and create another door into it, on another side. Do you know what he did? Because I was not there watching him, and it was because I liked him, and I trusted him to do a good job for which he was to be paid. The guy simply laid cement blocks straight against the painted wall of the store, without peeling off the paint, and without chipping off the wall, to tie in the cement blocks with the old wall. So that the applied cement could glue the cement blocks to the standing wall. The way he did it only needed just 3 months, and the new blocks would have started to pull away from the old wall. However, as God would have it, I came back before he had finished and saw the horrible work he had done. I was livid, and I said to him, how can you do this to me? I trusted you. How can you do such a horrible job for me? That is not Christian, for a Christian does not do such evil things, for we do unto others exactly as we would want to be treated. Church, that was the last job he ever did for me, and you should know that he will not be working for this church ever again. That is the price he must pay for his wickedness. Brothers and sisters, we are talking about Christian work ethics, and it is a very important issue, for we must know what the will of God is with regards to our earthly duties. Let me paint its importance to you. God created man, and he gave Adam and Eve a commission to be fruitful and to replenish and repopulate the earth. But the material question now is this: were they just to give birth and fill the earth and go nowhere but to simply sit at home, doing nothing? Is it a world of idle, jobless people who sleep all day, busybody in all over creation, that this commission gives us? No, absolutely not. They were also charged with industry, because they bore the responsibility of taking care of all the living things that God had created on the planet. Therefore, you have to see the mind of God for the human society, for industry was established right there for Adam and Eve, and it is called having a vocation, an occupation. Now, listen. When you have a revelation of the purpose for why God gave man industry, and why he gave each and every one a grace, a potential, a vocation, a calling in the natural that is to impact the society of man. Your attitude will be different, as it will be right. The bricklayer, therefore, will do his job dutifully and faithfully, and help to put up the structures that are needed to be put up. The painter will then come and paint those structures, and the plumber would also come and do his bit, and so would the electrician, including all those who are supposed to take care of those buildings, once they have been fully set up and inhabited. It is a chain, an interrelated chain. Are you with me? Brothers and sisters, nothing will work if one input is out of joint. So, it means that everything is interrelated and interdependent in the human society, for nothing is in vacuum. Hence, when we have a good attitude, a positive attitude towards the work that we are doing, giving it our all faithfully and honestly, knowing that it is going to impact on something or impact on someone else and in turn affect the society at large, what does it produce? It produces a peaceful, very ordered, sane, and prosperous society, because everybody goes to work and treats the work like their own, for it is divinely expected of them to treat it as such, knowing that God is also marking records. But the sad fact is that today, nobody cares for any job, because to them it is just a job, and as such, they do not have to give it their all, their best, for that is how they see it, and that is totally wrong. So, what do? They just treat the job anyhow, and behave anyhow on the job, because after all, it is just a job. I must tell you, it is not just a job. That is your earthly calling for which God is going to judge and reward you, based upon your performance, if only you can see it. Because if everyone had that horrible attitude, the society of man would not have gone far from the start. How many see the point? You have to agree with me this morning that even in the early 1950s and 1960s, the society of man was not in any form or shape like it is today, for man has become totally morally bankrupt. In those days, there was dedication to work, and there was compassion. There was also honesty, integrity, and decency, and hence, there was respect. Because the society was filled with people who were decent and responsible, people served faithfully, honestly, and respectfully, as they had decent manners, and that is the truth. Today, workers in all walks of life have become something else. Generally speaking, doctors and nurses, for instance, have lost the compassion and care for sick patients, and it is now all about the money. Teachers, generally speaking, also no longer teach students anything, and neither do they have any care and compassion for the pupils that they teach, but just load the students up with countless assignments, requiring endless research on issues that they should have been taught in class. And also speaking generally, the students themselves have become more like devils, most unruly, disrespectful, and mannerless, for they are simply a morally pathetic breed, very vain and empty-headed, a generation that is completely hooked on social media, that lets us see that there is no future for this present generation, and indeed, this is where it all ends. And as such, the Lord is counting on us to make the difference, for He wants us to stand out as a light. It starts with our attitude to work, and the difference we can make there, as faithful, dedicated, and disciplined workers, workers who can be trusted, and are dependable, and responsible. Look at what Jesus said in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16, from verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. That is a fact of life, and there is no denying this truth. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, unfaithful in the things of this world, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Exactly. Come on. Now listen to verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? That is the point. As children of light, think about that seriously. Whatever work we do, God wants us to do it like it is our own, to take care of it like our own, because we should be guided by a crucial spiritual principle that you do unto others what you would have them do unto you, and it translates to what the Holy Bible says, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And indeed, if you cannot be trusted with someone else's goods, and you are unfaithful with someone else's goods, or work, or funds, who will trust you with yours? Why should God entrust you with anything when you are unfaithful? When you have not been faithful with the little responsibility and care given to you to do someone else's work, how can God give you your own and you prosper in it when there is an infallible law that you reap what you sow? Just how can you prosper in what you do when you have defrauded someone else of the resources that has been entrusted into your hand? Come on! And if you have this warped attitude, saying, "This business is not mine, it belongs to someone else. So I will just do the barest minimum. And when I get my own, I will do it very well," you must know that that is a lie, because the very spirit and nature that you have that made you treat that person's work so shabbily is exactly what will motivate you when it comes to yours. Because we do not change our natures, and neither can we change the spirit that is ruling our lives, and that is the absolute truth. Moreover, God knows how to pay people in their own coin, for as the saying goes, what goes around comes around. Do not forget, we are considering Christian work ethics. As the coming of the Lord draws ever more closer, it is very important that we understand the will of the Lord in these evil and perilous days that we are now living in, because we cannot afford the spirit of the day to take over our lives and affect our comportment as well as our attitude at our places of work, for we want to be found faithful. We cannot do as others are doing, because we are the ones going up in the rapture, not them. May I remind you of the admonition of the Lord, recorded in Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 to 13, where Jesus seriously warned, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, following the spirit of the day, giving into the spirit of the day. But he that shall endure unto the end, standing firmly and uncompromisingly, faithfully, for true spiritual principles, living a dedicated life to God, the same shall be saved." Amen. Brothers and sisters, if all we have are the revelations of truths, and they do not impact our lives to make us a better people, they are useless, and we will be worse off for knowing what we know, because we just will not make it. That is why it is written in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask for more." God demands that as elect bride of Christ, to whom much has been committed by God, we serve faithfully at our places of work. The society of man is terribly sick, and that is why dishonesty and unfaithfulness are the predominant traits, the prevailing evil attributes that we see all around us. For it is a world full of wicked cheats and fraudsters, a world where people take advantage of their fellow human beings with absolutely no prick of conscience. You cannot ask employees to purchase something for the workplace without them giving you a fake product and pocketing the difference. You cannot send them to do something, as they must cheat you somehow and make the money out of it, for that is their standard, their stock in trade, because money is their god, for which they will do anything. Saints, we cannot be like that. Therefore, if the world is looking for people that have integrity, it should be us. It has to be us. If the world is looking for people that are upright and dependable, it has to be us. If they are looking for people who are dedicated, it has to be us. Look at it, church. Let me say this. When you are in your place of work, please do not be lazy. Be hardworking. And when you want a promotion in that place of employment, you know you must be hardworking and diligent, for that is the first point. The second point is this. If the place in which you are seeking a promotion requires that you get a certificate of sorts for that promotion, then you know you should study and take the necessary papers examinations on the side to get that promotion. Is that right? That is right, and you will do it if you want to be promoted. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to improve your lot. There is nothing wrong with being ambitious as long as it does not hinder your walk with Christ. God put ambition in everyone, but the issue is, you must put God first, and let righteous principles motivate you in all you do. I remember when I was working at NICON, the National Insurance Corporation of Nigeria, that I used to bring the files home to write my reports. I could have left them in the office and written them during office hours, as I was not forced, and neither was I asked to take the files home with me, because I knew the reports were urgent and that the office time was not sufficient if I was to meet the deadline. The point, however, is this. Little did I realize that I would be in this ministry, where I would be doing a lot of writing. Brothers and sisters, in those days, unknown to me, God was preparing me for the ministry. The work that was assigned to me, with the portfolios that were given to me, apart from my other legal duties, all meant that any time an investigation was set up, I was always the secretary from the legal department on that investigation panel. Consequently, it necessitated that I was the one taking the minutes of the meetings, and also that I did the writing of the reports of our findings at the end of any investigation. Brethren, I wrote quite a number of such reports, and it was hard work. I wondered why I was the one saddled with this responsibility, but I did my best, and I did not complain. I gave it my all, and it certainly improved my writing skills, as well as my attention to detail, because I had to look thoroughly at all the facts, even though I did not see this day. I traveled out of Lagos a number of times to investigate insurance claims, sometimes to Calabar or to Port Harcourt, and to other places where I would write the report of my findings. When the work of the investigation panel was complete, as a secretary, I had to write the report, give it to the chairman of the panel, who would vet it, and once that vetting was approved, he will sign the report and send it to the management of NICON. Now looking back, brothers and sisters, I realize that I could not have had a better portfolio, and that is the truth, even though I did not see today. I did not realize that what I was doing then would impact what I will do later. But I did it sincerely under God, because I knew that that was my job, one for which I was being paid, and that God expects me to give it my best. And by the grace of God, I gave them my best. When others went on their break, and the legal offices were empty, I was there, as I stayed back. When a job needed to be done outside of office hours, I was on ground to do it, and I never complained. I did it to the best of my ability, and I did it faithfully and honestly, staying with the facts. I remember we were investigating a case that had to do with an employee of NICON. I cannot remember the facts now, but from my investigation, I realized that the man's claim was bogus. However, this employee knew the president of the Workers' Union of NICON, and the president of the Workers' Union came to see me, putting pressure on me to write a positive report, but I plainly told him that I would not be doing that because I could not twist the facts and pervert justice, as I am a Christian, a believer. When he saw that I was not going to budge, he went his way, and I duly submitted my report. I was happy to do my work, and I did not ask for any favors for doing what was my job. That was what I was being paid for, and as such, I did not ask for any tips, and I was not expecting any tips from anybody, and I did not want tips from anybody for doing my job. Now consider this, as the pastor of this local assembly, and particularly, as the one whose messages are going into the Scribe magazines. We have published so many books, and an incredible number of scribes to date, costing a fortune, running into tens of millions of naira. I am the one who gave out the printing contract, and yet, I have never taken a kobo, not one dime, from our printers, for giving them the contract. I never have, and I never will, the Lord being my helper. Just how can I make money from the work of the Lord? How can I give out a contract and get a kickback on it? Come on! Just how can the children of God deny themselves and make great sacrifices for the printing of the scribes or for a church building project for me to make money out of it? God forbid! How can I make a crooked deal with our printers, asking for a percentage of the proceeds, particularly when this is about the kingdom of my God? Do I not have a stake in this kingdom? Brothers and sisters, I do not care what contract we issue to suppliers and contractors and the monetary magnitude. even if it has to do with the building of our proposed church and convention sites, which we are trusting God to help us to put up. There is no kobo I will be making on it, and I will take it as a personal insult if anyone would even think of offering me something back, a kickback, for giving him any contract. It would be an insult to my honor as a Christian and as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never done it in this church, and the Lord being my helper, I will never do such iniquity, for it is called corruption. That is its name, pure and simple, and that is what is killing the nations of the world, for all human governments are corrupt. When you are in a position of privilege, where you can award contracts or make purchases for the company you work for, as a true Christian, a true believer, you are not supposed to ask for favors or take kickbacks or receive any form of gratuity from any person or company, for it is called corruption. May I add that it is not enough that you do not ask for any form of handouts or for any favors other than a simple thank you, but you must also not expect them to give you something later in return, simply because you gave them the supply order or because you awarded them the job. So, must get something, just because you helped someone to get a job, and if they do not give you, you will not give them help with another job or supply. Oh my! That is what is killing the world, and we cannot be caught in that same rot, for it is corruption. That is the main cause of the decay we see today in the human society as we speak. Where is your honor and integrity as a believer, as a Christian? Where is your moral uprightness? Where is your exemplarship as an elect bright saint? Come on! We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We do not worship money. We worship God Almighty, our Maker and Redeemer. Money is not our God, for it is not everything, but God is everything. Brothers and sisters, as I must keep reiterating, re-emphasizing, when God put Adam and Eve here, He knew that the human society would grow with time, and the jobs would be created, and each man's work would impact the society at large, for everything is interrelated. Therefore, if our input is slack and shabby, and there is no improvement in how we do things, it impacts negatively on our society, and our society will not grow as it should, and we need growth, positive growth. Just for the sake of making an illustration, let us say we have a brother in this church who is into speakers. He deals with speakers. He takes care of speakers. However, the speakers he deals in are small speakers, and we require him to deal with our speakers. He knows that we are using big speakers, which is way beyond his capacity, and that we are having problems with our speakers. So, the issue is this: why would this brother not want to learn how to handle big speakers, so that he can serve us well? Why would he not want to go and learn how to handle big speakers, so that he can be of better service to the church, if that is what he is being utilized to do for the church? How much more if he was being paid for that job, and he lacked the ability for it, and he still does not want to improve himself? That would be a stinking shabby attitude to have, because at the end of the day, his input will always fall short. So, just how is he going to improve in order to enhance our production, unless he goes to learn how to handle big speakers? There will be no progress with him on the job. That is just a mere illustration, for we are supposed to all have a sense of responsibility for whatever we do, and so, we want to do our best and acquire the necessary abilities we need to excel in our earthly vocations. That is the point I am trying to make, that we should think of making improvements where necessary, as that is to be expected, because the earnest desire for growth is all of human progress. Furthermore, there are some things you do not have to be told or asked to do, for we should know what is right to do, or needful to do. There are some people, unless you tell them to do something at work, they will never do it, simply because they have no care for anything. Let us say there are 3 hymn books lying on the floor. You know they do not belong there, and so, they need to be picked up. Unfortunately, some people will act as if they do not see them, no matter how many times they walk past them, because they are not concerned, and they do not care. They will not help to pick up those hymn books off the floor, and put them in their rightful place, unless or until they are told, Brother or Sister X, please help us and pick up those hymn books. It is only then that they will pick them up. Come on! Do you walk with your eyes closed? That is not Christianity. Do you have to be told and be asked to do everything? It is this same terrible spirit that makes some sisters leave after the church service without tidying up after their children, who have created a mess. So, I ask you, where is your Christian virtue? What is your Christianity worth, if you are just so selfish and so self-centered, and you do not care for anything else, except yourself? No wonder people get fired from work, because of their uncaring, it's not my problem, selfish attitudes. Then they claim unjust dismissal from work. Yet, God has a way of fighting for His children, but it is as long as you behave yourself, and are not rude or irresponsible at your place of work. May I also add, the truth that you know and have is only known by you, and is given only to you, and not to them who are without. Therefore, you cannot take these precious truths to your place of work, and use them to start arguing with people over it every day. You do not have any wisdom if you do that, and moreover, you are casting your pearls before swine pigs. And if you are hated, and are kicked out of work, it is not a persecution of faith. You are kicked out only because you lack wisdom, because you are not employed for believing what you believe. So, why would you argue with people at your workplace over their lifestyles, and what they believe, when they are not walking this way? And as the saying goes, where ignorance is bliss, it is foolishness to be wise. I am not saying that you cannot share the truth with people, but there is a right way to do it, and there is a wrong way. Moreover, you need to be led by God in doing so, apart from the obvious fact that you cannot use the time you are supposed to be working, arguing with your boss and your colleagues over issues of truth. Do they care for truth? Is that why you are employed in their workplace? So, why not learn to value what you have, and keep it to yourself, and give it to only those that value it, and do your job? Of course, if all you want to do is to argue, to show what you know, suit yourself. Although you would only be wasting your time. If you do that, you are simply playing with the truth of life. Consequently, more than your daily lectures on truth, let them see your life, your dedication to your work, your sense of responsibility, dependability, and honesty, and let them see just how humble, considerate, and respectful you are, that you are indeed a Christian, as it is your love that ultimately makes the difference. In other words, more than your preaching, let them see your life, your Christian work ethics, and make the difference. Saints of God, John Calvin must have seen something, and his understanding of the truth that he saw was what changed Europe, for there is no reformer that impacted the Swiss society like John Calvin, and it is little wonder then that he is considered as the father of modern Europe. We just look at our earthly jobs and take it away from having anything to do with God, forgetting that one God made man from the very beginning, man's earthly calling. Is part of his God-given responsibility, because the church is the root, the essence, of why God wanted a human society in the first place. So, if I were you, when I get back to my place of work, my attitude would be different, very different from hence on, because you want to do the will of God, and what more are you expected to do? There is a payday even for this responsibility. Consequently, your boss does not need to see what you do, and he does not need to be there to see exactly how you perform, because there is an unseen eye marking the records. And I hope that when you get to your place of work, you are not playing games on their computer systems, because you are not being paid to play computer games on your work computer. And if you are caught and dismissed, you will deserve it. So, let us be serious with ourselves. Yes, you may have free time and the freedom to study at your workplace, but do not forget to do your work faithfully, as you should, without any supervision, because you are a believer. A Christian, who knows what is right from what is wrong. And indeed, a Christian should know what is right from what is wrong. It is called having sense. Brothers and sisters, there are loads of scriptures that lay upon us as Christians basic work ethics, So they go to the essence of why God has placed man here, why he established a human society. For even in eternity, this society remains, although in the day, it is now eternally redeemed. And as God then faces another planet, this planet will be perfectly ordered for all eternity, as nothing will ever go out of joint. Just wait till the millennium to have a foretaste of this. As bright saints who are bearing the divine revelation of the word of Christ, you must, from this moment on, please remove the scales from your eyes and see your earthly walk from a different perspective, from a different light, a spiritual light. For everything is unto the Lord, and everything is going to have its payday. Therefore, I implore you one and all, let us be industrious, hardworking. Let us be a people with honor and integrity. Let us be responsible and dependable, and make the difference in our places of work. As I often say, the world is not in want of Christians, brothers and sisters. They are in want of genuine Christians, true Christians, old-time Christians. There are over 2 billion Christians in the world today, but unfortunately, there is no saltiness to them, as Christendom is in an apostate state, and hence, the society of man gets ever more decadent, degenerating with each passing day. Therefore, God is counting on us to be the light in a dark place. That is why He brought us into the light, the true light of the Holy Scriptures. That is why we are basking in the continuing light of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible. So, please, let us serve, and serve well. Let us serve faithfully. And if you know you cannot perform the task expected of you at work, then why not be honest and considerate, and simply resign? Why would you want to be paid for a job that you know you cannot perform, collecting a salary for something you cannot deliver? Why would you even want payment for what you know you are not doing well? Do you not have a conscience? Why would you want to sit in a place, taking their money, when you know you are giving them nothing in return? Does that look nice to you? Is that okay? And why would you not want to improve your lot, if that is what it takes, so you can make a better impact in that place? I just do not understand. Brothers and sisters, you have just got to understand that God has an objective for us being here, in a human society. That is why God inspired the apostles Peter and Paul to lay down divine instructions concerning our human vocation, our vocation in life, what we do to sustain ourselves, and they teach us to carry out our earthly jobs conscientiously, as unto Christ, because God will reward us. Someone may ask, Brother Amos, I thought that that is just for my belly. Yes, it is for your belly. But it is more than that, because God did not put us here without an objective, without a purpose, other than for salvation. The fact remains that if man had not fallen, we would still have had a society that needed everyone's natural input. And this truth, God helping me, is exactly what I am trying to show you in this message. God expects you to be faithful, to be dedicated, not lazy, not cutting corners. If you have a job to do, you must do your job, and do it well, honestly and conscientiously. Do your part. Regardless of what others do, and regardless of the attitude of your boss. If that is what is paying your salary, or it is what is paying your bills, then earn it. Work for it. Serve well, and take joy in what you do. Take pride in what you do. It does not matter what it is, take pride in your work. Some of us do not have any pride in what we do. We look down on what we do, even though it pays our bills. And you can be eyeing a job that is not for you. You can want a profession that God has not given you. I am not stopping people from having ambition, because you should have ambition. But I am simply saying that whatever we do, we should take pride in it, because we know who we are in Christ. And that is what matters. Come on! Some people kill themselves studying to be a lawyer or a medical doctor when they are a fantastic carpenter or a great artist who are only going out of focus, seeking to be what they will never be. Not everyone can be a lawyer. Not everyone can be an engineer. Not everyone can be a mathematician. Not everyone can be educated. Not everyone can be a businessman or a trader. Because we do not all have the same mind, the same capacity, For God has given man different abilities and talents in different measures so that the society of man will not lack anything. We cannot all be university graduates. We cannot all be, and we do not all have to be, as long as we do something to earn a living. Unfortunately, there are some of you that will slave yourselves to try to do what you cannot do, just wasting away your precious limited time. And mark you, I am not stopping you from getting an education. I am only telling you the honest truth as your pastor, for everyone cannot be an engineer. Not everyone can. God invests a potential in every man, and he shares it differently. That is why we do not have the same abilities. Some are good at chemistry, some are good at physics, some are good at geography, some are good at woodwork, carpentry, some are good at arts and crafts. Some can handle the bricklayer's trowel very well. Oh my! I tried it one day because I thought it was very easy to do, just because the way they do it makes it look so easy. However, I was fighting with the thing, and it just kept falling off my trowel because I am a pen man, a pen pusher, a lawyer by profession. So, all I can handle is a pen to write. Brothers and sisters, everyone has his own gift from God. Everyone has his own ability from God, and we need all the various abilities. We need bricklayers. We need mechanics. We need cleaners. We need teachers. We need nurses. We need plumbers. We need engineers. We need drivers, both for public and private purposes. I told you of a mechanic who deals in exotic cars, for it is what you make of a profession. Is it tailoring? There are people acquiring landed properties from the gains of their profession. It is how you do something that makes a difference. You may have the talent, but you may not have the organizational skill or the ability necessary to make your tailoring service blossom. Take my next door neighbor as an example. She is a university graduate, and she was my senior at school, but she has thrown the certificate away for the tailoring service. From morning till night, clients are trooping to her place to have their dresses made. It is as if she sews for everybody in Lagos. All of her backyard has been turned into a sewing factory, and she has myriads of people working for her, and yet, she is not a tailor by profession. Her university certificate has been laid on the shelf, just as mine is also on the shelf. Brothers and sisters, God deposits something in everyone, and regardless of how things turn out in life, you should take pride in what you do, because the job that you constantly look down on is the very one sustaining you. It is what puts food on your table, even if it is just for the moment. Brothers and sisters, a lot of university graduates today are the ones driving the commercial motorcycles we call Okada, because there are no jobs. So, what is the use? A lot of graduates are jobless, and they have been jobless for years. I am not talking of you, my brethren, but I am merely stating the truth, for it is a fact that a lot of graduates in the country are jobless. So, what is the point in killing yourselves just to have a university education, when you cannot afford it, or when you do not even have the brains for it? But here you are, just a clerk, or a domestic worker, a domestic help, but you are the one that others borrow money from. I am not saying that to preach mediocrity. I am not. But it is a fact that we should be people that are thankful and grateful, people who appreciate the goodness of God, contented people, and that is the truth. There is nothing wrong in wanting to better your lot, and to have a good education, because we must encourage the brethren to have ambition. But it just means that in your academic pursuits, you are expected to be diligent in your studies, and to do your assignments promptly, giving it your best shot. You should not be lazy, but studious, and neither should you play away your precious time. That is why, in the parable recorded in Luke chapter 19, verse 13, the Bible clearly states, "And he, Jesus, called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come, for we are to occupy, doing something. However, you must also ensure that you keep the fire of truth burning in your soul, attending fellowship, studying the continued message of the Holy Bible, and be given to fasting and prayer. Your pursuit of education should not take God out of your life, For even as a student, God must still be the center of your life, because your eternal life is worth much more than what any earthly education can give you. So, I am not against people getting an education, particularly, for example, should you want to be a pilot. Apart from the fact that it is also good to want to better your lot in life, I am going to show you some things from the scriptures tonight, the Lord helping me. Brothers and sisters, it is written, the blessings of God is what makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Proverbs 10 verse 22. A song also says, little is much, if God be in it. It is also written, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we are taking nothing out of it. 1 Timothy 6 verse 6. Some of you are wasting your time trying to do business. And the truth is that it will never work for you, for the simple fact that you are not cut out for business in this vicious evil world. Some of you, instead of looking for salaried employment that is constant, are looking for business deals. Some of you are also too trusting, and instead of starting a business small to test the waters, to see just how it will pan out, you throw all you have into it and lose a fortune. It is a sign that you do not have any business sense. Brothers and sisters, if you do not have a particular ability for something, and you are chasing that thing, you are only wasting your time. It is a sheer waste of time, because you will never make it. There is a talent God invests in everybody. That is how God supplies what the human society needs in all its ramifications, from a trader, to an artist, to a painter, to a musician, to a school professor, for everything has its place. Therefore, we should take pride in what we do, and do it faithfully, responsibly, and with joy, because we know who we are, and we know that on the other side, it is going to be a different kettle of fish. After all, we are coming to reign in the millennium, for it is the hour of the manifestation of the sons of God. We are coming to take over as the rulers of this great and beautiful planet. So, it does not matter what we do now, we just be faithful to God, for we are coming to reign. That was why Moses, by faith, which is divine revelation, was not afraid or ashamed to become a mud. Double, walking alongside his people, the Hebrews, in Egypt, for he took pride even in the lowly and tedious work assigned to them in their forced labor. Think about it. We have to do our work sincerely as unto Christ. We have to do it with a good conscience towards God, even if our bosses are bad, even if our superiors in the office are very horrible people. And let me tell you this, if you can endure grief and be faithful to God, serving diligently and sincerely, committing the problems you face at work to God, God will fight for you and lift you up. God can make every man bow before you, as he bowed before Mordecai in the book of Esther. For God has a way of fighting for his children, as long as you behave yourself, and you are not rude at your place of work, or act irresponsibly, but act faithfully. Do not ever think that God does not know exactly how your master is treating you in the office. He does, however, expect you to exercise some patience, and to persevere. You cannot run away and go elsewhere, simply because your boss is bad. Do you know who you will meet where you are going? You do not know. So, you just need to bear for a while. You need to persevere for a while. And if the conditions become too unbearable, then move. But I will guarantee you this, brothers and sisters, if you can be faithful, and deal honestly and with integrity, and serve conscientiously, God will meet with you, for he is faithful. It is not for nothing that we have been admonished in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 22 to 25, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May I also add that the same rule applies to those of you who are working for brethren, for a greater responsibility devolves on you to be faithful, because your boss will be counting on you, as a fellow believer. That is why Apostle Paul even implores us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, saying, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke of servitude count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." Again, in Titus chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, it is also written, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, stealing, pilfering, but shewing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things." Amen. This is the doctrine according to true righteousness. Church, let us therefore be diligent in our daily endeavors, performing our daily duties faithfully, for God hates laziness, idleness, indolence. God hates it. Go and read the book of Proverbs, for it is full of scriptures dealing with laziness and idleness. Proverbs 6 verse 6 to 11, Proverbs 10 verse 26, Proverbs 13 verse 4, Proverbs 20 verse 4, Proverbs 26 verse 14 to 16. Likewise, read the book of Ecclesiastes, for it even warns the farmer that if he looks at the weather, he will never sow. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 verses 4 to 6. The book of Proverbs even says that a lazy man will never go out because of an imaginary lion on the road, making excuses for not going out to walk simply because he is a lazy man who does not want to walk. Proverbs 22 verse 13. Proverbs 26 verse 13. But they love the good things of life though. They always want the good things, as long as it comes from other people, as long as other people pay the bill. And when they cannot have what they desire, they blame other people, people they envy, for their predicament, and they get annoyed and are down perpetually, all out of frustration. Proverbs chapter 21 verses 25 to 26. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is full of words of admonition, warning us not to live a lazy life. Responsibility was placed upon Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that was even before the fall, because they were not simply to give birth and then sleep all day long, living a lazy life, devoid of any earthly responsibilities. The human society would have decayed, for it would have had no growth. Brothers and sisters, when you have a delinquent society, a lazy, idle society of people who only want to live a life of rally, life of pleasure, it cannot last, for it is not sustainable. This reminds me of Saudi Arabia. Do you know why the Arab Spring did not break out in Saudi Arabia? It is because for their citizens, schools are free, education is free, housing is free, and furthermore, they do not pay any taxes. On top of that, they are being paid hefty government benefits, which makes them live large. In other words, the Saudis do not work, but they live like kings. It is the foreigners that work for them, and the government pays its citizens loads of money, in way of government benefits, to just sit and enjoy. So, they live large, partying, riding big exotic cars, and big exotic motorcycles, enjoying life on government benefits. When the Arab Spring started, the Saudi rulership were pumping out money, free money for their people. So, why would they join the Arab Spring when they are enjoying life and they are not doing any work? But that society certainly cannot last, not with that very opulent and over-the-top, showy, decadent lifestyle. There is no society that can last with its own citizens doing nothing, only enjoying life, living the life of Riley. It will not last. It cannot last. If time were tarry, it would self-destruct, because it would never work. God did not create man to be indolent, just frolicking through life from morning till evening, just enjoying life, living large, without any responsibility. Such a society has to cave in. God certainly did not design man to be like that, playing lawn tennis from morning till night, all year round, from country to country, making millions of dollars for just hitting one silly little ball with a racket over a net. What a life of Riley. My, oh my! The same applies to all sports, whatever it may be, because sport is not supposed to be a vocation, but just a mere means of relaxation. It is the devil that has turned the world on its head, and that is precisely why nobody wants to study and work hard anymore, when sports and entertainment is a fast and easy way to fame and fortune. That is what is responsible for the kind of young generation of people we have today. Lazy, very vain and carnal, exceptionally empty-headed, extremely mannerless, totally senseless, and degenerate class of humanity, hooked on social media. Saints, we must know that God has a desire for the human family, having already gotten to himself an angelic family, with each and every one of the angels having divine responsibilities, divine duties assigned to them by God. They not only take care of man, as our guardian angels, but they are also the guardians of the various laws of nature, as well as being guardians of the innumerable galaxies, for they watch over all the works of God, making sure that everything is in perfect order, all according to the will of God. They have a lot of work on their hands. And the Lord God, having gotten himself an angelic family, has turned his attention to getting a human family. So, the question is, are we to laze around, sleeping and enjoying ourselves 24/7? In other words, we are to be lazy and do nothing, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for that is what 24/7 means. No, of course not. There has to be industry. Therefore, we must see that if there had not been a fall, or if the devil had not come into the picture, the society of man would have functioned perfectly, with God at the center of our lives. In a perfectly ordered, righteous, prosperous, equitable, fair, secure, sane, and peaceful society, ruled by love, divine love. Hallelujah! And as man's population would have grown, covering more parts of the earth, so likewise would creativity and jobs have grown, producing a just, equitable, kind-hearted people, a perfectly ordered, God-centered, God-motivated society of humanity, which is precisely what we are going to have in the millennium. That was why in Genesis, all of them had work to do, and in that beginning, the children simply follow the vocation of their parents. Look at the lineage of Adam, the lineage of the sons of God. They were all shepherds. And look at the lineage of Cain, the lineage of the serpent seeds. They were all farmers and gardeners, knowing everything about the rocks and the soil, because it was also their vocation. Since, when we even take this thought to the millennium, a time we are going to have, not only the millennial subjects, but including us, as well as all the resurrected saints, immortals, we will not just be sleeping, living an idle life, but rather, we will be watching over every human endeavors, making sure that everything in the human society is working like clockwork. As the rulers of the earth, all under the rulership of Jesus Christ, it is going to be a utopia, a highly ordered society, where equity, fairness, goodness, righteousness, love, peace, security, and prosperity reign supreme. It is going to be a different kettle of fish to what we have under the fall, and yet, it is still not the perfect day, but it gives us a window into the eternal age. For in eternity, the society of man will be perfect, absolutely perfect, in all aspects, in all ramifications, redemption having been completely and perfectly accomplished, with perfect industry. So, if you know anything about God at all, it is that he is an industrious God. That is why he does not even slumber, and neither does he sleep. The universe is expanding, and more galaxies are being discovered every day, because God is still working, and is always working. He never stops working, because he is an industrious God. So, you have to go back to the garden, and take a look at the vocation that God established for Adam and Eve, and realize that God intended for man to have industry, for the progress of the human society, because we are interdependent on one another, which is why our abilities are interrelated. And had the devil not come into the picture, the society of man would have been totally different to what we see today. The main point, brothers and sisters, is that God has an objective for wanting a human society, and you will see this projected beautifully in the millennium. And yet, as great as it will be, the millennium is still nothing, compared with the eternal age. Bearing this divine knowledge, saints, we are people that should make a difference in our places of work, seeking to fulfill God's objective for the society of man in our own little way. Because we have been called unto high alive, to bear the high calling of God, may I warn you that we are not occupying the highest level of sainthood in God's redeemed family for nothing, for we cannot be the highest level of saints without responsibility. Exactly. That is why Jesus promised in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 to 28, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron in the millennium. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star." So, let me ask you, why do you want to be in the highest class of saints when you do not want to live a life of grace, one that testifies of God's grace, which is an overcoming life? This highest class of sainthood demands living a life of responsibility, for it is not for nothing that we are called as bright saints. Therefore, God expects us to be responsible. Not walking as men pleasers, not rendering as servers, but walking as faithful, diligent, honest, and dependable workers. As his redeemed people, God expects us to be a light in the darkness, and to understand that had sin not come into the picture, we will still have had our earthly responsibilities, creating a human society that is well-ordered, just, righteous, peaceful, equitable, and prosperous, with God as the center of our lives. The millennium is the age of prosperity, and in that age, our Joseph is coming, Jesus Christ, the Son of Prosperity, and in the day, everything he touches will prosper, and that is the utopia the world is desperately looking for. A few decades ago, one politician got up in this country and declared, "I will eradicate poverty." May I inform you that there is no man that can eradicate poverty, for as Jesus declared, we will always have the poor with us. Mark chapter 14, verse 7. Why? Because only God can eradicate poverty, and only he will eradicate poverty, and God will do so in the millennium, walking through Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, over the whole earth. And do you know what? The man who promised to eradicate poverty in Nigeria was put in a coffin, and I say that to make a serious point, and it is precisely this: there are some things that only God can do, period. But knowing just how the millennium will operate, that there will be industry for every last one of us, you must realize, therefore, that you cannot be so heavenly minded that you are of no earthly good. That is not the right way to think. Because as children of God, we should have a true vision of the responsibility that God has placed on our shoulders down here in this evil world. The crucial point, however, is that we should not allow our earthly responsibilities to bog us down, because this world is not our home. Nevertheless, we should still be able to relate to others on earthly terms, because we are still in this body of flesh. We are still here with our human responsibilities and needs, particularly as we all have family. Yes, we should be spiritually motivated, but we should also be able to relate to others who are not following this way, because we are human beings, and we are still here. However, and as I have said before, for we must strike a balance, and we cannot take any truth into extremes, we will not allow our earthly duties to bog us down, and kill our spirituality, because this world is not our home. And because the Lord is coming very soon, and we must be prepared to meet him. That is precisely why there is nothing in all the writings of Apostle Paul, or in that of Apostle Peter, that says, or even suggests, that you should let your earthly work take over your spiritual life. They do not say or imply that in any way, because your soul is worth much more than any earthly job that you may have. This is a truth I also need to emphasize, because there is a balance to everything. Consequently, you cannot afford to have your work take over your life, till you just leave to work, and you have no time for God, or for your soul, or for your family. That is not right, and you cannot allow any earthly work to rule your life, until you have no time for your soul, and for your Creator. Come on! You must know that you cannot allow your work to choke out your spirituality. Otherwise, you will die, spiritually speaking, and that is not good for you, for your soul has an eternal value. It does not matter how much you are being paid. If your workload is too much, and you are dying spiritually under its weight, common sense will tell you to lay that job down and look for another one. It may not pay you as much, and you may have to slash your financial commitments, but at least it will still put food on your table, and more importantly, it will allow you the time to serve your God and to get your soul ready for the return of Christ, because there is a rapture coming, and you must make it in the rapture. You cannot just leave to work. You cannot do that to yourself, for there is a balance to everything in life, particularly as you have a rapture to catch. It is one thing to be dedicated and honest at work, but it is another thing altogether for your work to rule your life until you die spiritually and are no longer rapturable. This is an issue we are still coming back to deal with, because it is a crucial scriptural balance that must be struck clearly and seriously. Brothers and sisters, coming back to the focus of our message, which is about Christian work ethics, the fact remains that you cannot be slothful and refuse to work under the pretext that you want to be spiritual and that we are at the end as time is running out, because that is also carnal, for nothing justifies laziness. You will definitely be living a disordered life if that is the way you choose to go. For God wants us to be industrious, hardworking. We need to occupy till the Lord comes. Some of you, on account of your pride, are rejecting job offers because you consider it to be beneath you. But the material question is this: whilst you are looking for a job that can pay you the moon, who is paying the bills? Someone has to give you money to go out, even if it is to take a bus. So, why not get a job that can pay your boss fair and give you a little more, and do that in the meantime, so you can maintain your dignity and self-respect? Because if you can only go the humble way, and you are faithful, you do not know what door God can open for you through the job. But no, some of you do not want to work because you are waiting for the job that can pay you the moon. But in the meantime, while you are waiting over the years, someone else has to give you money even for your boss transportation. And then you make yourself a burden and leech. Everything you eat, and even the clothes you wear, it is someone else that has to pay for it. And that is the truth. In a case like that, brothers and sisters, you make yourself a burden 24/7. So, that little job that you're looking down on will give you your dignity and self-respect, and there is nothing like self-respect. It gives you dignity because you are doing something. It may not be much, but you can manage it. If you have a humble heart and are faithful, although things may be difficult for a while, simply because God tries us all, however, at the end, you will see the hand of God. The fact is that that little job that you shunned may be what God has designed to be the stepping stone to the big one that you're looking for. And because you reject that stepping stone, you may never get up there. All you see is a low level, and it is because you cannot see the elevation that may come from that job, the opportunity that the low-level job may give you. May I remind you, brothers and sisters, that the way up is down, and that is the truth. Though a lawyer by profession, I have worked as a clerk for a short period in the United Kingdom, and I did it with pride. I knew I was a lawyer, and I was putting my papers together to enable me to work in that capacity, but in the meantime, I laid that aside, and did temporary work as a clerk. I did the job very well, and I was given respect for it. I remember one day in particular, I do not know how one of my colleagues got to know that I was a lawyer, but then a whole number of them came and said, "We were told that you are a lawyer." I said, "Yes." They said, "Wow. How can you do this job?" They marveled at being a lawyer. I could relate to them in the way that I did, with respect, and also do the work the way I did, for I took pride in what I did, knowing that it was to earn a living in the interim. So, my advice to you is, take pride in what you do. Because if you do not take pride in what you do, you will never give the service you are supposed to give, because you will look down on it, and your attitude will always think, we should be proud of what we do, because we know who we are. We are joint heirs with Jesus, and our day of glorification is coming. So, it is not what we do now on a natural level that counts. It is what we do now in Jesus that matters, because when we go up in the rapture, and we come back with Jesus, it will be a different kettle of fish. It is the hour for the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 19. That is our, and the hour is coming, and I hope you all know that rulership in that day is strictly reserved for the overcomers, he that overcometh. I hope you all remember that, for the truth we are sharing tonight is part of what God has laid upon our tables, and we must fulfill this righteousness. The world is sick and tired of Christianity, because it has no salt in us, being nothing but apostate Christianity, a counterfeit. You go to the banks, they are full of Christians, so-called. You go to the government offices, parastatals, and subsidiary companies and corporations, government agencies, they are full of Christians, so-called. But because all they have is just a mere religious spirit, having no clue to what true Christianity is all about, is precisely why these same so-called Christians can loot the treasury of the nations and cripple the nations economically, all for personal gain. That is precisely why at our places of work, God wants us to make the difference. God is counting on us to make the difference, to be faithful and dedicated workers who do not have to be told what is right to do before we do it. As bright saints, the highest level of sainthood, you do your work, and do it conscientiously, and leave a testimony there. Let them miss you when you go. Let it be said, oh, we once had this sister who walked with us. Oh, we once had this brother who walked with us. How we miss them. Leave the testimony. Let it not be said, oh, thank goodness he has gone. What horrible stuff. Dedication and integrity is what is required of you. The world is looking for old-time Christians, and we are that people. We are expected to be people with integrity, people with honor, people with dedication, people who are dependable, being trustworthy, not crooks, cheats, and thieves. We should be people who can be given a job, and the owner can go to rest and be at peace, knowing that all is well with his business and his money, because you are in charge. He will say to himself, Brother X is handling it. Sister Y is handling it. I have nothing to worry about. I can go and take some rest. That is true Christianity. Whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. So let us give whatever we do our all and have the confidence that you give your all. There is a peace of mind that faithfulness gives. Doing something sincerely, conscientiously, and faithfully gives peace of mind. Even when they treat you badly, your heart still testifies, it bears you witness, and justifies your conscience that you have served that man or woman or that organization faithfully, for you did your best. And God also sees it, and he will reward you for it, because that is exactly how God wants us to be. Brothers and sisters, it does not matter that it is someone else's business. It does not matter that it is the government's business. You will do your work seriously and conscientiously, like it is yours, like that work is yours, like that company belongs to you. Because God expects you to give your all. And as I keep saying, if you can be faithful, you will see God's hand of mercy. Let me tell you tonight, hard work pays, for God rewards hard work. You may toil for a while. Things may be hard for a while, but God certainly rewards industry, and that is the truth. Just hold on and trust God and be faithful, for God rewards industry, he rewards hard work. It is good to persevere, for perseverance has its rewards, because nothing good comes easy. And although it is true that God is going to judge this world, nevertheless, God still expects us to perform our duties, our daily duties, as saints, so that we do not bring any reproach on any account. No. Not on account of any negative attitudes or laziness or insolence or dishonesty or unfaithfulness. The testimony we leave should be positive to the glory of God. Come with me to the Holy Scriptures, for we need to strike a crucial balance at this point Because we are not expected to walk 24/7. In other words, we are not expected to walk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even for ourselves, talk less for someone else. It is not all walk, 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 because all walk and no play, no rest, is also not good. It is killing. Man was not created just to walk. We are not living to walk. Come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 20, because industry does not mean that you kill yourself, for there is a balance to everything. You must have the wisdom to know when to call it quits. You must have the wisdom to know when your strength is spent, and you cannot go any further. Otherwise, you are going to collapse, and when you collapse and die, somebody else will take your place. So, there is a balance to everything, because you are not a superhuman being. Can I hear amen? Yes. So, you should be able to know when your body is telling you, this is it. Tomorrow is another day. Exodus chapter 20, beginning from verse 8, declares, remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Amen. Brothers and sisters, why did God institute the Sabbath, and gave it to the Jews? It is just so that man can have some rest, some respite, from his daily chores, his daily labors. That is why God made the Sabbath, for it gives physical rest to the weary body of man, after laboring hard for 6 days, and this rest in turn, speaks of the eternal rest for our souls, which is by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and the millennial rest for planet Earth. Someone might ask me, so, Brother Amos, we should be observing the Sabbath. I am not teaching you any such thing, and I am not suggesting that, because we are not under the law, but we are under grace. However, I am showing you the provisions that God has made in the Torah for the children of Israel, to regulate their daily labors. I am trying to show you the mind of the Spirit of God, why the Sabbath was established for the Jews. It is God recognizing that human beings can only walk for so long before the body collapses. So, to recoup the strength which we have expended in the week, God gave 1 day in the week for rest, so we can recuperate, so we do not burn out, because it is not all about work. And that is why, brothers and sisters, there is room for taking leave from work, so you can have time of rest, relax and recover your strength, so that you do not wear yourself out by constant and relentless labor. But I must warn, though, that as believers, we do not take French leave, which is simply to take off from work without permission. Then you switch off your mobile phone so that no one can get you. That is irresponsible. A responsible person does not behave like that, because you should care, not only for your name and integrity, but also for how your sudden and unofficial absence from work will impact upon the organization of the people that you work for. You must be considerate and fair. So, you cannot just take off on a French leave and switch off, and then when you come back days later, you come with a big lie, as if God does not see. The material point is this, brothers and sisters, although it is good to be hardworking, for industry is good, nevertheless, God also expects us to have some time for relaxation, a period of rest, and it is all part of the divine package. Personally, I make sure that I give time off to all my domestic staff, particularly making sure they take their leave, because they also have their own lives to live sometimes. My driver asks for permission to attend a special program in his denominational church, and I let him go. I do not hold him back, simply because he is not following this continuing light of Christ. How much more would I let him off from work, if he was simply following the message of Elijah, and he wanted to attend their convention? I say that, because you cannot refuse to let your worker go for his special religious program or convention, just because he is not following the present light, the continuing revelation of the Holy Scriptures. After all, he was not employed so that he could follow the message. We cannot be mean people, and moreover, Other people are at liberty when it comes to issues of their faith. The point is that God expects us as human beings to have some time of relaxation, a period of rest, so we do not burn out. Yes, there are some organizations and employers who never give time off work. They will not give you any rest period, and that is not acceptable. Even when you are supposed to be on leave, some bosses will still constantly call you on your mobile to do one thing or the other. And in reality, they never give you leave, they never give you rest. You do not have to take that, for it amounts to abuse. For you were not created for your boss, and neither are they supposed to rule your life, just because you are working for them. So, if you allow the abuse and you collapse, do not tell me. But Brother Amos, you told me to be dedicated. I say that because that is exactly how some people reason and take things into extremes, because they never really get it. If you are going to walk 24/7, with no breaks, no rest, you are going to kill yourself. Then I will have to ask you in return, is that boss your God? And is that work also your God? You have a family to take care of and to bond with, and more importantly, you have a God to serve, and that is the gospel truth. In order to stop man from excessive labor, is the very reason that God gave the children of Israel the Sabbath to keep, so that they can have some respite. Because it is not all work and no play, for God is most fair. Just consider the provision God gave the children of Israel relating to going to wars and general business. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, from verse 5, the Holy Bible records, when a man hath taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year. Why? And shall cheer up his wife which he hath taken. That is wonderful. Is our God not a good God? He most certainly is an exceedingly good God. You may all laugh because of the text, but really, how most considerate and kind God truly is. Every time I read this provision, I see nothing but the goodness and care of a most loving God. Even in times of war, a soldier who has just married must be set free for 1 whole year, so that he can enjoy his wife. Is God not a good God? You are all laughing. I love this God. He is wonderful and very caring. What is the point of going to war immediately after you get married, when you might not return? Think about it. So, what happened to your newly wedded wife? What happened to the poor lady? God is loving. So, he made this provision in the Torah, declaring, I do not care what war is going on. When a soldier is newly wedded, he must be allowed to enjoy his wife for 1 year before you call him to face any battle. And for the same reason, you must also not lead in a newly wedded man with any business responsibility. Period. Our God is such a considerate God, and it will do us good to learn from this kind and considerate law, for it is most humane. So, if we are the employers, if we are the bosses at our places of work, let us be considerate. I am not saying that we should apply this 1 year law and give others 1 year leave. I am not saying that. But I am saying that we should take the spirit of it, the just, considerate, kind, and righteous intent of this law, and be considerate in how we deal with the employees under us who are newly wedded. God is teaching us to be humane, to be kind-hearted, to be considerate and understanding, because we live in a world where people do not care. Brothers and sisters, we once had a lawyer in this country, Gani Fewahimi, a senior advocate of Nigeria San, and a human rights lawyer, who is now deceased. He never retained any lawyers, although a lot of lawyers passed through his firm, just to gain legal experience. And do you know why he never retained those lawyers? It is because he did not give any of the lawyers working in his law firm any breaks, as he was a slave driver. He did not care for the fact that you just married. If your child or wife fell ill and you needed to go to the hospital, you were on your own, as he did not allow you any leave or any breather. You just had to attend court, because the case was assigned to you. There was no grace, no mercy, in how he dealt with those working for him. On the other hand, God wants us to be humane. We should have mercy. We should not drink the blood of those who work for us. I say this because there is a balance to everything. And because we have a lot of people like that in the world, they will pay you very well. But they will also drain every drop of blood you have in you for that pay. So, what is the point of being well paid without having the opportunity to enjoy it? Come on! So let us therefore now zero in on the responsibility of employers generally, for God did not blot out their responsibility from the inspired scriptures. Church, I will open up this issue by saying this. The divine obligation God placed upon employers, bosses, is based firmly upon the immutable, unchanging truth that we do unto others exactly as we would have them do to us. That is why our Lord Jesus Christ declared in Mark chapter 12, verse 31, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Brothers and sisters, all employers are supposed to be kind, considerate, and understanding, putting themselves in the shoes of the employee. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9, St. Paul warned, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening them with losing their job, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him." Exactly. Because you are not God, no matter how prosperous your organization may be, you can discipline or reprimand your employees, but do not threaten them with their job, because the thought of losing their job will do much more damage than merely reprimanding them, as it may give them high blood pressure, high pretension. In the book of Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, it is also written, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." Did you hear that? Do not be a mean slave driver of an employer who wants to just use the workers, but does not want to pay them, and then when he does pay, he just pays a pittance, drinking the blood of the poor people. God wants us to pay people what is just and fair, and not use people for nothing, or for pittance. It is selfish and mean-hearted to do so, and it shows a total lack of conscience, because you should be able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. Come on! Consider if that was you, if the tables were turned. Many people just love using other people for little, often next to nothing, just because they are in a better position, and because they have the power to do so, because they can. They have no consideration for the less privileged people, because they do not relate to them as fellow human beings, and they even renege default, go back on contractual promises made, just because it is not written down. And even when it is written down, they still use hidden clauses smartly tucked inside agreements to avoid payment when they are expected to be considerate and fair, and to also be people with honor and integrity. Some employers do not have the kindness and godly consideration to periodically raise the wages of their employees, knowing that inflation is biting into the salaries of workers, because they are selfish and totally godless, having no care for the plight of others. And even when the workers ask for a salary raise or increase, they will refuse. Just look at the situation of the industries in the United States. Giant firms took jobs away from America and shipped them to China and to other parts of Asia for cheap labor, all because they did not want to pay the wages that they should pay the workers in the United States. Extreme greed and selfishness, and a total lack of consideration for their fellow Americans, as well as their utter lack of consideration for the growth of their own nation, is what is responsible for shipping jobs abroad in the first place. Now, China has grown into an economic giant on such gains, and America is suffering for the total selfishness and greed of its entrepreneurs. Now, everything comes from China. We should treat workers with love and kindness, even though there should be discipline at work. But it is evil to pay unfair wages, taking advantage of the poor people, just because these employers can, and because the employees have no choice. No wonder CEOs are earning millions of dollars in salary, apart from other benefits, whilst they pay pittance to their workers, their own employees, who are the ones doing the work. What a world! What a most selfish, wicked, inconsiderate, and greedy world! I say that because these companies are making a killing, loads of money, and are declaring billions of dollars in profit every year, showing evidently that they can make the difference financially in the lives of their employees, but they just will not, and that is exactly how this world will stay until Jesus comes to wipe it out and start afresh. Brothers and sisters, making a difference in the lives of poor people is the divine responsibility of the privileged, for you can help because you have the means. Some employers will even unduly withhold the salaries of the workers, and yet, these workers have families, they have wives and children, they have husbands and other dependents, loved ones, to sustain, apart from all the bills that they also have to pay. So, when you withhold their salaries and refuse to pay them, just how are they expected to survive, having spent a fortune to come to work every day and slave for you? That is why God seriously warned the children of Israel, as recorded in the book of Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, firmly declaring, "Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him." And listen to this, "The wages of him that is hired shall not abide with thee all night unto the morning, when it is in your hand, when you have it." It is sheer wickedness to withhold worker salaries, for as it is written in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 18, "And the laborer is worthy of his reward, and indeed, a workman deserves his wages." The truth of the responsibility of employers to their employees that God laid out in the Torah is what inspired Apostle James, writing in the book of James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, to sternly warn, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you on the day of the Lord. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is skunked, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." Why was this warning given? "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts, as in a day of slaughter, and cared not for the poor workers who slaved for you to have this lifestyle. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." In Job chapter 31, look at what Job said in verses 13 to 15. "If I did despise the curse of my manservant or of my maidservant, when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? Did not he, God, that made me in the womb make him? And did not one, God, fashion us in the womb?" Think about that, even though I know that pride, selfishness, greed, covetousness, racism, and a total lack of a prick of conscience will not allow many people to care about the provision of this verse of Scripture. Nevertheless, the absolute truth remains that the same God made us all, and we are what we are only by the grace and mercy of God. We could have been born imbeciles. That is, with the mental capacity of a 3 to 7 year old, or born with a disability, not having the abilities that we currently have, for all abilities come from God, for we are nothing of ourselves. Ability is divine, just as the book of James chapter 1, verse 17, clearly provides. "Every good gift and every perfect gift, every good talent or ability that we have, is from above, and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Therefore, let us be humble and considerate, and be kind-hearted to the less privileged. Let us remember the poor, for that was the only counsel that the Jewish apostles gave to the Gentile apostles, and it is something we must do as true believers. As recorded in Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do." I am talking to all employers tonight as I try to bring my message to a close, and that takes in all those who occupy positions of power in various organizations set over employees, whether it is in the public sector, the government sector, or in the private sector. There are two sides to a coin, And there is a just balance in the Word of God. There is a revelation that guides the people of God in our places of employment, and that is what I want you to see tonight. Brothers and sisters, I lay before you the word of the Lord. God expects people in high positions in offices, whether in government offices, or in private organizations, or in individually run enterprises, business outfits, or even domestic employers, to be just and equitable, considerate. God expects you, as a boss, to be understanding and considerate, and to put yourself in the shoes of your employee. What if you are in his shoes, or in our shoes? Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you, because we are what we are by the sheer grace and mercy of God. Your position can change at any time, as nothing is permanent, for we have seen millionaires who have, unfortunately, become paupers. Nobody but God knows tomorrow. Mercy and kindness pays. So, please give your employees their due. Give them their annual leave. Give them their Christmas break. And if they have an emergency to attend to, please let them go and help where you possibly can. It is kind and gracious to do so, for we all need the grace and mercy of God. We cannot do without God's grace and mercy, because we thrive on it. Saints of God, I plead with you, please treat your employees with love and respect, and be considerate. Have compassion, and do not look down on anyone, for humility is of God. Make a difference in the lives of your employees, and God, who is marking the records, will reward you. Furthermore, it is not everything negative we see that we react to. There are some things that God expects us to just overlook, because God overlooks a lot of our foolishness. That is the truth. If God had to knock us every time we did wrong, we would never get up and we would never grow. But He overlooks a lot of things that we do wrong, and that is why we are able to grow, learning from our mistakes. And He's patient and merciful. Dealing with us is why we have peace of mind and joy, because He does not rule us with fear. He comforts our hearts, puts a smile upon our faces, and joy in our hearts, and we are encouraged to go on. Therefore, we should be able to overlook some things as mature Christians. It is not everything we see that we react to. It is not everything that we fuss about, and it is not everything that we punish people for. We should be able to overlook faults, because we wrong God all the time, and He overlooks a lot of our faults, because He loves us. This is not to take away discipline, though, because there should be discipline in any place of work, in any establishment, and there should be a price that people must pay for crossing a line, because there is a balance to everything. The material point is that we should be able to overlook the faults of others, and not jump into action every time something happens, when someone does something wrong. Just put yourself in that person's shoes, and ask yourself the simple question: if it was me, what would I expect? I know there are people that love to take advantage, but do not worry about that. You just do what is right to do, knowing that God is watching everything, and that He will repay everyone in His own coin. For there is no respecter of persons with God, for He has no double standards. But as a boss, it is good to be considerate. It is good to be just and equitable fair, and it is good to reward industry diligence. It is good to motivate people, and to put a smile on their faces, and to make a difference in their lives, in a day where people are so selfish, and have no care for people who are under them, for they are people without natural sympathy. They only care for themselves and their families. As a boss, it is good to be able to make a difference in the lives of your employees, and to let them go with a testimony, "Oh, I thank God for my boss. What would I have done without my boss under God? Thank God for giving me such a lovely boss. May God bless my boss in a special way." And in their bedrooms, they will be praying for you every day, because you have impacted their lives. You have made a difference. Brothers and sisters, you can make a difference, and God has called us to make a difference. That is why we are the bride, a people with a higher wisdom, who are occupying the highest level of sainthood that there is in the entire redeemed family of God. As I have said before, it is not for nothing that we occupy this great position, And as such, there is also a great responsibility, a correlative equal responsibility, that goes with this highly privileged position that we occupy, and that is the truth. And as I also said much earlier, although we are not going to change the society, nonetheless, these are things that will make for an ordered, equitable, fair, kind, considerate, secure, peaceful, harmonious, and prosperous society. And as the children of light, God wants us to uphold these principles in our places of work, whether as a servant or as a master, a boss, that we may be a true light in darkness, a shining example. That is the kind of society that we will see in the millennium, a prosperous, righteous, peaceful, egalitarian society, that is, a society where there is social equality and equal opportunities, where Jesus the just can reign. So, I know that we cannot change this fallen and incredibly corrupt and decadent society of man, and it is certainly going under. The judgment of God is what will make the difference, which is why God is going to wipe it out. He will wipe the slate clean with fire, and with earthquakes of unimaginable proportions, and start afresh. However, in our little space, we can certainly brighten the corner. In our little corners, we can make the difference and be the light God wants us to be. That is precisely why Apostles Paul and Peter were inspired to write what they wrote in the Holy Scriptures, that we may know the will of God for our lives relating to our work ethics, the Christian work ethics. We live in a most selfish, self-centered, extremely greedy, uncaring, hateful, and unthankful world, because perilous times are here. Consequently, God is counting on us to be different, to be that light in a dark world. So, please, I beg all those who are bosses, all employers tonight, to treat your employees kindly and compassionately, to be fair and considerate to them, and to all employees, to be the people who take their jobs very seriously, knowing that had there not been a fall, that industry is something that will still have gone on. And if you can only go out of your way to help where help is needed, and you help to make things work, people will value you. And even if they do not value you, God sees your kind ways, and He has 101 million ways of putting a smile on your face, and to reward you, because it is all as unto Christ. So, let us do everything as unto Christ, so that in everything we do, Christ may be seen in us, whether it is at home or at work, proving that Jesus is indeed the center of our lives, the center of everything we do. Let Jesus be seen in you at your place of work, whether you are a servant or a master, a boss, and let Him be seen in the place where you live. Right there amongst your neighbors, for Jesus has to be seen in you 24/7, at all times. If there is a dichotomy, a difference, between your work ethics and your Christian profession, it means you are a hypocrite. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Bible lays out fundamental principles that moderate Christians in their places of work, how we are expected to function and to comport ourselves, and this should motivate us, for there is indeed Christian work ethics. Brothers and sisters, we want to consider just two more issues, the first of which still relates to our message, for it borders on our attitude at our places of work, and then we will close. Please come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 23, starting from verse 1, and it reads, "Thou shalt not raise a false report, put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." These are evil and wicked realities you will sometimes face at your workplace. But the question is this, why do people raise false reports? They do so for selfish reasons. Sometimes, they want a particular post that someone else is occupying, and so they will try to eliminate that person by raising a false report, totally discrediting them, so they can take that position. Sometimes, it is simply out of envy and jealousy, and at other times, it is just out of pure wickedness and vindictiveness, a move of vengeance, for something that may have done to them. Hence, they raise a false report about the people, in order to eliminate them and get rid of them. Brothers and sisters, these are evil realities we face every day, and may I warn you seriously that this is something you cannot afford to be involved in as a true believer, for it is evil and wicked, Otherwise, I guarantee you, you will pay dearly. Sometimes people bring a false report just out of pure hatred, and that in itself is wicked, it is evil, and it is most unchristian. You cannot do that. You cannot know that a person is innocent, and then agree with those seeking his downfall to say that he did wrong by joining them in filing a false report. It is sheer wickedness. I do not care for the reasons that motivate people to do that, but as a believer, you cannot do that, for it is satanic, devilish. But Brother Amos, we are reading from the law, and we are not under the law. It is true that we are not under the law, but nevertheless, the spirit of it is sustained, the righteous intendment of it stands, because you cannot do that by the grace either, for it amounts to a righteousness. It amounts to raw wickedness. It is infallibly written, Thou shalt not raise a false report, put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness as a child of light. The Holy Scriptures warn us in clear terms against this evil practice. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 5, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18, and in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 16 to 21, God even built laws to deal seriously with this great evil. Therefore, if in your place of work, they want to eliminate someone, and although the false report may not have been generated by you, but you are expected to join hands with the falsehood, as well as add your signature to the false report, you must know that you cannot do that. For you cannot put thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. If the people engineering this evil report, this evil move, are powerfully placed in that organization, and they will also deal with you, then let them have their job. Let them have their job. This is where St. Paul warned us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, saying, Be not ye the servants of men. This is where the scripture replies, Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. In other words, do not let others rule your life, and make you walk as an unbeliever, in iniquity, just because they are your boss in the office. You cannot let them destroy your Christian honor and integrity, your Christian testimony, for it will affect your relationship with God. They may be your boss at your place of work, but they are not your Lord, and they certainly do not rule your conscience or your soul, for God rules that. Moreover, you are accountable to God. Apostle Paul is not saying, do not serve other people. Because if you cannot serve others, then nobody will serve you either. Why should they? So, that is not what St. Paul is saying. Otherwise, he would not have also said in verses 20 to 22, Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. So, brothers and sisters, if they bring a report in the place of work, a mutiny, wanting to eliminate somebody, or rope somebody in, for what you know he has not done, you must know that you cannot put your signature to that. I do not care whether it is your managing director. I do not care who he is. He is only your master at your place of work. He is not your Lord. So he does not rule your conscience. No man rules your conscience except God. Exodus chapter 23, verse 2. Family warns, Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to raise judgment, to pervert judgment, because it is wicked. You certainly cannot follow a multitude to do evil. You cannot do that. They will have to take their walk. And that is part of the trial of a true believer. What do you think the trial of faith is? What do you think it is? A trial of faith is not always something smooth and easy. You may say, Brother Amos, if I do not put my pen to it, they will not promote me. Then let them keep their promotion, and you be a true Christian, because you have a rapture to catch. Brothers and sisters, we are here today, gone tomorrow, for this world is not ours. Consequently, you do not want to use your today to spoil your tomorrow. You do not want to use your here to spoil your hereafter, your eternal destiny, because of a silly promotion or a silly job. Your life is worth much more than a job, and much more than a mere job promotion. Your soul has eternal value to it, if you deem it so. The Holy Bible says in Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 to 2, Thou shalt not raise a false report, put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to raise judgment. And sometimes, you are told or asked to testify, and then you end up being a false witness. You cannot do that, because as the redeemed of the Lord, you are the light of the world, and furthermore, you have a rapture to catch. The second and final issue we will now consider does not have a direct bearing upon this mess for John Christian work ethics, but nevertheless, it has a remote bearing on it, because it borders on retribution justly deserved penalties in contractual matters, as well as in trade matters, and God wants us to, in disciplining others, or in issuing penalties, do no unrighteousness. God wants us to be considerate, compassionate, and fair in inflicting punishments or sanctions, particularly to poor defenseless people. In the book of Exodus chapter 22, the Holy Bible clearly states in verses 26 to 27, If thou wilt take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep. And it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. This provision was built into the Torah to regulate the relationship of the children of Israel to their fellow men. Because God wants us to be gracious. For instance, if somebody owes you money, or it is that he has not fulfilled a part of his bargain, but what he has used as a pledge for the contract, or for the money he has borrowed, is his covering, you must realize, brothers and sisters, that the covering as used in this passage is not a literal covering, but it is a figurative covering. If somebody borrows money from you, and let us say he is a tailor, and when he does not pay on time, you seize his sewing machine, and we all know that that machine is his livelihood. Just how is he going to survive when you take away his only means of livelihood? Even if he gave you his sewing machine as a pledge, or as insurance against a personal loan, not a business loan, you should know that that machine is his only means of livelihood. The Lord says that you cannot take away that machine, otherwise his whole family will suffer for the loss of that machine, for that is their only covering. A covering for their economic financial nakedness. So, you cannot do that. God wants us to be gracious, knowing that the machine is his means of livelihood. That is why God gives a warning that if you do that, it shall come to pass, when he crieth unto me, that I will hear, for I am gracious. This reminds me of a case some years back that happened to one of our brothers, a carpenter. Brother Wally had a lay. A lawyer had paid him to make some office furniture for him. And when, for whatever reason, the job was delayed, the lawyer suddenly came and confiscated Brother Wally's carpentry tools. Now tell me, just how would he then be able to finish the job when he is without his tools? The lawyer ought to have had sense enough to know that that is his covering. In other words, the tools were his only means of livelihood. So just why will he take away his livelihood? When I heard of the development, I had to go to that lawyer, and I told him that he could not do that. For then, how was Brother Wally to complete the job when he was without his tools? Brothers and sisters, you can take this issue of covering and transpose it to 100 million things. In other words, you should know what a man's life depends on, and you shall therefore be gracious, just as God is gracious, because you can sanction him in other ways. By this law, God is seeking to impart to the children of Israel a higher wisdom. He is trying to teach them to live a life motivated by divine wisdom, mercy, love, and to be gracious, and it will do us good to take instruction from this provision of the Holy Scriptures. The one that made the pledge still needs to exist. They need to survive and take care of their families, and so you are expected to be gracious. May God's wisdom and grace enrich our lives, and may God's love guide our actions, that we may indeed be the salt of the earth that he has made us. Since, when I recently rewatched a documentary about John Calvin, and I learned of the great impact that he made to modern Europe, although I have never read any of his writings, apart from knowing that he was used to restore the doctrine of election and predestination, it made me search the scriptures to see exactly what it was that he could have used to reshape the European society. And that was when the Lord opened my eyes to this truth, and he inspired me to take this message, titled, Christian Work Ethics. I do not know if he was used to lay out these basic principles, which I have zeroed in on in this message, of Christian conduct at workplaces, and which I have called Christian Work Ethics, but I know that he greatly impacted modern Europe because of the documentaries that I watched on him, as well as the things that I read about him online. The Encyclopedia Britannica has this to say of him: John Calvin, French Jean Calvin, or Calvin, born July 10, 1509, Noyon, Picardy, France, died May 27, 1564, Geneva, Switzerland, theologian and ecclesiastical statesman. He was the leading French Protestant reformer and the most important figure in the second generation of the Protestant Reformation, that is, after Martin Luther. His interpretation of Christianity advanced above all in his Institutio Christiane Religionis 1536, but elaborated in later editions, Institutes of the Christian Religion, and the institutional and social patterns he worked out for Geneva deeply influenced Protestantism elsewhere in Europe and in North America. The Calvinist form of Protestantism is widely thought to have had a major impact on the formation of the modern world. Brothers and sisters, I have to believe that John Calvin was able to make a difference because God opened his eyes to the scriptures dealing with practical Christianity, the practical Christian life, thereby helping to reshape how Europeans look at work and how they are to conduct themselves at their places of work, thus helping to establish modern Europe. And it is John Calvin's accomplishments that God used to inspire and motivate me to search the Holy Scriptures, where I now saw God's desire for true Christians at their workplaces. Taking it back to God's divine objective for the human society in Genesis. Therefore, saints of God, let us be responsible and upright in whatever we do, whatever the job may be, knowing that we will receive a reward for it from the Lord, if we serve faithfully. Which is why St. Paul implored us in Ephesians chapter 6, saying in verses 5 to 9, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleases, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And, ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. So, let us be dutiful, dedicated, and responsible people, and also considerate, doing unto one another exactly as we would want others to do unto us, taking pride in what we do, and doing it conscientiously. Look at it, we can all sit comfortably in here in church, because some brethren have taken the time and the sacrifice to sweep and clean and arrange the auditorium, and some sisters have also diligently taken care of the toilets, making sure they are clean. Otherwise, we will not be able to sit here comfortably today. And I thank God for the dedication of our sisters who have taken it upon themselves to make sure that our toilets are clean when many of us do not bother. What a difference they make, together with the sisters who sweep and clean the auditorium. I appreciate the brothers that also help to arrange and clean the chairs every service day, particularly for Sunday service. No, these inputs are not advertised, but God is marking the records. They do it because they see a need, and they freely take it upon themselves to do that. And they have been doing it diligently and conscientiously, and as you all know scripturally, there is a payday for everything. Just consider the few sisters sweeping and mopping this place every evening, when most of us simply dust our buttocks after service has ended, and go home. Every service night, I look at these sisters, and I am simply appreciative of their service to the body, along with our sisters cleaning the toilets, for they have been very dedicated in their service. Yet, nobody asked them to do what they are doing. And that is how it should be, that you see a need, a vacuum, and you fill the vacuum, and you attend to the need, because it is something you can do. It is having a good sense of responsibility, and we should be responsible people. That is what God is teaching us in His Word, responsibility. Brothers and sisters, if you see a need, you do not need to be told. You also do not need to be paid before you can do something. For instance, if you go to the toilet and you see that it is dirty, even if you cannot wash it, why not let the right people know that the toilet is dirty so that it can be taken care of? If you see that something is broken and you cannot repair it, why not tell the right people so that it can be fixed? It is called having a sense of care and responsibility. Saints, that is a good example of what it means to be responsible, because you do not have to be asked. And even though people may not appreciate what you do, although I hope we do, the fact is, God does, for God is marking the records. That is true Christianity. That is why I will say, if you damage something at your place of work, and nobody sees you, and you sneak away, and the following morning, they ask, who damaged this thing? You need to speak up. You will have to say that you broke it. You need to tell. You should not sneak away without letting them know that you damaged something accidentally. That is responsibility, true responsibility. If you break it, and you cannot mend it, then you must tell. You have to. It does not matter if no one sees you, God does. And let me warn you tonight, if you damage another person's property and hide the fact, you do not know how God can take that from your purse, because God pays us back in our own coins. For one wrong thing you do and refuse to own up to, if it costs 100 naira, God can make you pay back 1,000 naira. We just have to be responsible. We have to be responsible people. Therefore, when you are on a job, you have to do your best on that job to make a difference. You must be a true Christian at your work and let them know that a Christian is on the job. Church, we must have a revelation of the mind of the Spirit, of what God wants to obtain in the human society, and play our part faithfully. God demands that at our place of work, we give our best, as long as it pays our bills. As long as it is where we are making our livelihood, it demands our best. It demands our all. And there is a divine wisdom that should rule God's people. When you quit that place of work, let them say, oh, we lost a worker. Let that be your testimony. Dedication, commitment, honesty, and integrity are virtues that have been lost in the world, for it is now a world of dog-eat-dog. It is a world of extreme selfishness and greed, and a total lack of care and consideration. Therefore, we are expected to make a difference by being different. As I have been emphasizing, we are not going to change the fallen society of man, but we can at least leave a witness. Let them know that you are a Christian, a true Christian, a rare gem, a child of light. For if there had not been a fall, the kind of society God meant to establish, which is one with the attitude that is right and good, and just fair, responsible, and righteous, is exactly what God still expects from the bride of Christ. No, we will not change the society to make it what it ought to have been before the fall, but we will leave a testimony in it. Why, you will ask? Because we are for signs and wonders. This speaks of the divine life of a true believer, which just makes things different, for we are a marvel to the world, a sign, a great light in a dark place. That is what the Spirit of God spoke on behalf of Jesus Christ, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, declaring, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. We are spiritual Israel, the royal seeds of Abraham, and God wants to make us signs and wonders in the earth, a spectacle of grace, rare gems, for we are a different class of people. That is why, brothers and sisters, our attitude to life as true Christians is different. Our behavior, Our conduct is different. Our outlook to life is different. The way we do things is different. Our thinking is different. Our desires are different. And it just makes the unbelieving world marvel, thinking, what kind of people are these? With after signs and for wonders. That is why true Christianity is a life, a divine life, one that cannot be hidden. For it is Jesus in us by his Spirit, expressing himself in us and through us, making us that light. For he is the true light of life. Brethren, there is no way you are going to truly love the Lord, having the love of God burning in your soul, and not also love this revealed way, because it is such a glorious way. When the fire of divine revelation burns in your heart, it makes you want to live for God, and do just what is right, that you may be pleasing to God. It does not make Christianity hard. It just makes it easy. The love of God burning in your heart is what makes this revealed way easy to walk. Yes, it is true that we fall short in various ways, but that is why we always go on our knees and pray, O Lord, help me, for without you I will fail. For you are my righteousness, my strength, and my salvation. Because it is only in the righteousness of the Lord that we trust and not in our own righteousness, for we are fallible creatures. It is solely on the merits of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary that makes us what we are, for we are nothing in ourselves, and we will always be nothing. It is what he is that counts, not who we are, for a great exchange took place on the cross. However, there is a revelation that burns in the hearts of God's people, which motivates our lives, because we can truly see the light. Jesus Christ has touched our hearts. He has touched our lives, and he has placed our feet upon the road to eternity, and as such, we can see clearly, not darkly, but clearly. Whereas before, we were in darkness. We are now in the light. Whereas before we could not see, but we can now see the light. Whereas before we were on a downward pathway, but we are now placed upon the path that is going upwards, for we are heaven-bound. Think about it. Hence, there is unspeakable joy in our hearts, and a sweet song in our mouths, the sweet song of redemption. Brothers and sisters, every elect seed wants to live for God, and desires to do right, because he has been bought with a price, and he knows that the service of God is the very essence of creation. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. And when you miss that, you miss everything, no matter what you attain in this evil and transient world. You must see the perfect will of God concerning Christian work ethics, because God wants you to be his wonder child, assigned at your place of work, that they will look at you and just wonder, this guy is so different. There is something to his Christianity. No, it is not you saying that, because anyone can testify of himself. It is the people who come into contact with you, the people at your place of work, seeing your dedication to work, your commitment, your sense of responsibility, and your honesty and dependability, that say that. They know that if you are the one at your work, all is well, because they have confidence that you will do it right, because they know you are responsible. So, your boss does not have to go away fretting, I wonder how the office is being handled. I wonder how this job is being conducted when I am not there, because you are on ground. You will be that person, because you know as a bright saint, that although your boss is not around, and that there is also no one else around, but God is there, for the unseen eye is still watching. Brothers and sisters, when God, after he got himself an angelic family, decided that he would have a human family and establish a human society, he had a precise divine objective in mind, for the society of man. Yes, sin came in, but it did not take away God's desire for the human society. That is why in the millennium, you are going to see this earth function exactly as it should, righteously, justly, equitably, peacefully, and lovingly, for it is a utopia. And yet, that is still not the perfect day, because sin, as well as death, will still be in the picture. Consequently, we can therefore take the thought of God's objective for the human society, transpose it to the eighth day, the eternal age, and imagine just what the society of man will look like in that eternal age, which is the perfect day. where everything about the human society will be absolutely perfect and flawless, ageless, timeless, all through eternity. Think about it. Consequently, you should be able to see something. You should be able to see the mind of God in relation to what we are dealing with in this message. And if you know that God has turned to us in His mercy at this evening time, and that He has given us a revelation of something, if you really can see that, then it should do something in your heart. This marvelous light of Jesus Christ should create a great desire in your heart to live for God and to walk pleasing in His sight, strictly in the light, and to be a true light in darkness, so that at the end of the day, you can leave a testimony here, just as Enoch did. It is written in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Likewise, even if you resign from that place of work, let it be said, "This is one Christian that passed away." Amen. Let it be said, "This is one Christian that once passed this way." Leave a testimony, a witness. Let it not be said, "Oh, thank God the sister has finally gone. She was so horrible, so lazy, and dishonest. Thank God the brother has left. Good riddance to that bad rubbish. What a crooked, fraudulent individual." No, let that not be the testimony they will bear of you. Let it be said, "This is a Christian that once passed this way. How we will miss him." Leave a witness, a testimony. Why? Because God has created us for signs and wonders in the earth. It is not just about the healing of the sick, opening the eyes of the blind, and raising the dead, for it is much more than that. It is about living a life that simply mesmerizes and astounds other people, the unbelievers, bringing praise and glory to God, because they can see that you are a rare gem in a horrible wilderness, an oasis in the midst of a desert. Brothers and sisters, I lay before you Christian work ethics. Stay with this truth, and live it, and you will see the finger of God in your lives. For our God is faithful and true. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Brother Amos prayed. The Lord bless you.